Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading that we heard from John chapter 9 tells of a man who was born blind. Now, to be handicapped in any way is always a difficult thing. All too frequently, handicapped people are misunderstood and sometimes even resented by society. And at Jesus' time, to be handicapped, and especially to be blind, was really a severe blow to a person's life. There were no doctors that such people could turn to for treatment and help. Institutions for the blind, like schools or other facilities, were non-existent at that time. There was just simply no chance of gainful employment for such a person. And so this could easily lead to a blind person just losing their whole sense of self-esteem and purpose in life. But perhaps the most severe blow to a person at that time suffering from that kind of disability was that it seemed that so few people really seemed to care about their situation. They became outcasts of society. Their only possible source of livelihood was by begging for assistance. However, today we have ways of caring for blind people. Medical science is able to cure some of the conditions that cause blindness. There are schools for the blind. There are Braille printing presses that enable blind people to be able to read. And of course, modern technology can offer a lot of other kinds of assistance as well. But the young man that we read about in John chapter 9 had none of those modern-day advantages. And as we read in John chapter 9, at that time, the attitudes of many people toward those who were born with a disability was that was a sign that either that person or that person's parents had committed some grievous sin. And today this attitude is still around sometimes in one way or another. We might think, for example, that when something bad happens to us, it's because God is punishing us for some specific sin that we have committed. And we see in our reading that even Jesus' own disciples accepted that idea. They asked Jesus, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, Jesus explained to them that it was neither this man nor his parents that had sinned, that had directly caused this man's blindness. But instead, Jesus tells them that God allowed this to happen to him because Jesus was going to demonstrate the majesty and the power and the mercy of God by healing this man of his blindness. And so as we see John recounting in our reading, Jesus then made some mud by spitting on the dirt, and he put the mud on the man's eyes. He then told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, one of the pools of water in Jerusalem. And after he had washed, he came back seeing. The young man was healed so that God would be glorified, even among his critics. And of course, we know that Jesus healed many other people during his ministry on earth. And as we see recorded in the book of Acts, God also enabled his apostles to heal people as evidence that God and his gospel are true. But God did not heal everyone who asked for miraculous healing. The apostle Paul, for example, prayed to God, pleaded with him. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me, whatever his thorn in the flesh was. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness.'" God wants us to go to him with all of our heartaches, all of our problems, all of our sicknesses. However, sometimes we forget about God and we forget about prayer, and instead we try to rely on our own strength and on our own ability. Sometimes our own guilt or other feelings that we keep hidden can cause us to really have physical symptoms as well, sleeplessness, headaches, stomach discomfort, or other symptoms. The Bible makes it clear to us in the book of James that so often we do not have because we do not ask God. And the favorite hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," puts it this way: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Jesus wants us to go directly to Him with all of our needs. He promises that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Are you ill? Are you worried about a certain virus that's been in the news nonstop? Go to Jesus. Talk to Him in prayer. Draw your strength from His eternal word and from all of His promises to you. Read the Psalms. They are for you, and in them you will find all of your needs met by the merciful and all-powerful God. Opposition arose to Jesus' healing because it was done on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, which was the day that God commanded His people in the Old Testament on which they could do absolutely no work. The Pharisees opposed Jesus' act of healing because they lived strictly by the letter of the law. But they had forgotten the greater law of love and mercy that God desires. Instead, they had made some of their own laws and rules and regulations, and they had put those as a hedge, a barrier around God's actual law to try to ensure that they would never, ever even get close to breaking God's actual law. But as a result, they ended up making those laws and rules and regulations into an end in themselves, as a way of showing off to others just how good and righteous and pious they were. Jesus had previously said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." But it seems that the Pharisees would rather see a person sick and suffering or even dying on the Sabbath rather than to lift a finger to help that person, because they thought that their obedience to their own understanding of the law came first. They were blind to mercy and love and justice, which were the very attitudes that Jesus was teaching and demonstrating. So they hated Jesus for that. So we see that religion can really be a very dangerous thing when it is twisted and corrupted. People have done many sinful things in the name of religion. The Pharisees had no love for this man who had been healed. They asked him how he received his sight, and he explained to them that it was Jesus who had healed him. And the Pharisees became angry. To them, this incident was proof that Jesus was not from God, especially because he had healed on the Sabbath day. To them, that was a disgrace and a violation of God's law. They couldn't understand how a person could do such a miraculous thing and disobey the law, or so they supposed, at the same time. As we examine ourselves and our own hearts, we see that there is some Pharisee in all of us. We constantly need to be on guard against it. We all have the temptation to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. This was a problem of the Pharisees, and it led them to becoming cold and hard, legalistic, unloving, uncaring. That young man who was healed by Jesus not only received his physical sight, but he also received spiritual sight as well. At first, the young man thought of Jesus only as a prophet. Many people today, even in some other non-Christian religions, also look upon Jesus as a prophet or as a great, wise, moral teacher. However, the Pharisees, in their jealousy and in their spiritual blindness, they couldn't stand to have anything good said about Jesus. And so when that man who had been given his sight said that Jesus was a prophet, they insulted him as having been entirely born in sinfulness, and they threw him out of their assembly. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he went and found him and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the man who could now see replied, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus answered, "You have seen him, and he is the very one who is speaking with you." The young man answered, "Lord, I believe." And he knelt down and worshiped him. We see here that Jesus is the seeking Savior. He is seeking the lost. He is seeking the straying and the erring. God's people, in fact, are the voice of Jesus calling out to those who are straying and wandering and lost, calling people to repentance and to faith in Jesus as their Savior. That is the work that Jesus wants us to do while it is still day, because as he said, night is coming when no one can work. The last day is coming. And when it comes, whether Jesus returns or whether our own individual last day comes then, it will be too late. No one can work. The opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus and to believe in him and be saved will be gone. We see the young man made a great confession of faith. "Lord, I believe." Is that your confession? Do you believe in your heart what Luther stated in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed? "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally." Can you say together with Luther to all of that, "This is most certainly true"? If you can, then thank God for the gift of faith that he has given to you. You are a spiritual brother or sister of that man who was born blind, but who had his sight restored by Jesus. And Jesus didn't only partially save this young man, rather he gave him perfect spiritual sight. He was completely healed, completely forgiven. How do we get that perfect spiritual sight? Well, God tells us through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 1 verse 12 states, "To all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And so again, with Martin Luther, we confess in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, "I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." It's the Holy Spirit who works faith in our hearts by shining the light of the good news of Jesus into our sin-darkened hearts. A Let's thank God that faith in Jesus, our Savior, is his work, not our work. The young man, no doubt, kept his perfect spiritual sight that Jesus had given to him. Are we keeping ours? The good news of God's love for us is that God loves us because of Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead, that he promises eternal life in heaven with him to all who believe in him. These precious truths are all clearly revealed to us in God's word. We need to continue to read, learn, and inwardly digest God's word. We do that right here in our worship services. We do it in our Bible classes. We do it in personal devotions at home. We do it in our times of fellowship with each other as we encourage each other with God's word for whatever situations we are facing in our lives. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, God comes to each of us in a personal way. He speaks to each one of us, "My body given for you, my blood shed for you, so that you may be forgiven and strengthened in your faith." This word of God, this sacrament, gives you perfect spiritual sight. Jesus is more than just a prophet. He is the Savior, the healer, the helper who cares and who loves the lost. He calls to us today, "Come to me, cling to me, and you will have perfect spiritual sight." May God grant that we always take Jesus up on this invitation. May God use each of us to bring this message of hope to people around us whose hearts are weighed down by uncertainty and fear, so that they also will have spiritual sight and look to Jesus for comfort and every blessing. Amen.